ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम नेम नंबर 325 Apang Nidhi, which means the ocean of water. From Shastra we understand, definitely not from modern astronomy, but from Shastra we understand that there are seven oceans. The saltwater ocean, the sugarcane juice ocean, the liquor ocean, drunkards will like that. Then there's the milk ocean, the yogurt ocean, the ghee ocean, the yogurt ocean, and the sweet water ocean. So this is describing the water. The two kinds, salt water is the inner one and the outside one is the sweet water ocean. So, Vishnu, Krishna, is called the ocean. So he can be understood as the sustainer of the waters of the ocean, the principle of the ocean, or he himself is oceanic. There's a word in English, I don't know if there is in Sanskrit like that, but a person who's oceanic means they have very broad consciousness. Udaradhi, we have that word in Bhagavatam. Udaradhi, this Sali Agarwal, the wife of Brij Mohan, something like that, Agarwal, who hosted Srila Prabhupada in Butler, Pennsylvania in America in 1965. One day devotees turned up to interview her, and she spoke spontaneously about Srila Prabhupada, her memories of those 2 months or so, and he said he was oceanic. So Krishna, we see, he's standing with threefold bending form, holding a flute, with a peacock feather in his hair, dressed in yellow cloth, with the blackish bodily hue. So Krishna doesn't appear to be like an ocean. An ocean is very big. You've got Krishna, he's got that picture there. There's so many terms we can't explain, but Krishna's, he's like an ocean. It's just like Srila Prabhupada described as oceanic. He appears to be just a person, just a person. There are so many people. But he's not any person. His whole consciousness is so vast, unfathomable. Unfathomable means you can't find the bottom. Just like that Chakratirtha at Naimisharanya, you can't find the bottom. During the British time, during the 19th century, there's someone here doesn't like this talk of Krishna Katha. The dogs are supposed to be kept out, isn't it? Is it? It's so loud. That's what you get. If you don't discuss Krishna, then you get another birth like a dog, and then you have to bark. So, Krishna is oceanic. He knows everything. What's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna knows everything. Vedaham. Vedaham samatitani. Vartamanani charjuna. Bhavishyani cha bhutani mang tu vedana kaschana. Krishna knows everything. That I was speaking about Chakratirtha, the British, whoever was posted in that area, they heard that people said that this is bottomless, so they put in some chain which went for some miles, and then they gave up. They couldn't find any bottom. So endless and infinite, even though Krishna is appears as the son of Mother Yashoda, person, but he's immeasurable. There's so many names here in Vishnu Sahasranam. Aprameya means beyond measure. You can't measure. You can try to measure him, but you can't measure him. He's immeasurable and vast. Another point about the ocean, there are so many points we can say about the ocean, why Krishna is described as the ocean. There's that verse in Gita, Apuryama Namachala Pratishtam Samudra. Samudra Mapa. This name is Apam Vidhi. So Samudra Mapa Pravishanti Yadvat Tadvat Kama Yang Pravishanti Sarve. So Shanti Matnoti Na Kama Kami. This verse spoken by Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, says that a person who is undisturbed by material desire is comparable to the ocean in which mighty rivers enter, but the ocean remains the same. It's undisturbed, remains peaceful. We see mighty rivers. Here is Ganga, here in Rishikesh is Ganga. Not so mighty now, at this stage. If we go further downstream, I remember once in the rainy season. This must have been 1978, something like this. I went to Bhagalpur in Patna, in Bihar, and at that time the Ganga was so wide you could hardly see the other side. So she's. Here she's a little bit small compared to there, but mighty river, very powerful river. Even here, the force is very strong, the current. I told Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu that when I was in Delhi in 1977 and a group of devotees came and they went up to Rishikesh and they came back one member less because he thought he would go swimming in the Ganga. And he was drowned. He's very strong, but not strong enough for the force of the Ganga. I believe he's here in Rishikesh, either here or Haridwar. So the very powerful river, mighty river. But when she enters the ocean, then the ocean is not disturbed. Of course, we understand them from the Puranas that actually the Ganga doesn't exactly enter. Ganga Sagar, she goes down further. In the heavenly sphere, she's called Mandakini. And here she's called Ganga, and then she's called Bhogavati, is it not, in the lower planets. So she goes throughout the whole universe. But anyway, there are so many mighty rivers. There's the Amazon in South America, the Nile in Africa. These are the world's great rivers, and they all flow into the sea. But the sea just remains the same. So in the same way, Krishna knows everything, Krishna supervises everything, everything is within Krishna, but Krishna is just happily playing his flute. He's not disturbed by all this. We're disturbed by so many things. Yesterday I was looking at some correspondence from just less than 4 years ago, and at that time there was some very concerning one devotee, and his mind was very disturbed at the time, and he was disturbing others also, and now it's just forgotten. It's gone, it's past. So Krishna, he's not disturbed. He knows everything. All things must pass. That's from the Bible, I believe, that saying. Everything, just so. Krishna, he's undisturbed. The world goes on. Shrushti, Stiti, Pralaya. world comes into being, it's maintained, it's destroyed, and Krishna is just undisturbed, like the ocean. Of course, within the ocean there are so many things going on. There, one fish is eaten by another fish, small fish is eaten by a big fish, the big fish is eaten by the small fish also, you know that? Big fish is also eaten by the small fish. How is that possible? The little fish nibbles out of the body of the big fish. So the big fish eats the small fish eats the bigger fish, and then another bigger fish eats that fish, and another, and then there's the Timi, a very big fish, and then there's Timingala, huge fish. So there's so much struggle for survival going on in the ocean also. From the outside, that's another feature of the ocean, that if we just see from the outside, we can't imagine. There's a whole other world going on in there. We can only imagine the world on the land, but it's like a different dimension, how the living beings live in the water. It's beyond our imagination until we take birth as a fish. And for the fish, it's beyond his imagination how we can live on land. It's a completely different ethos. There are so many things going on. There are volcanoes within the ocean. There's a word for that in Sanskrit, which I don't remember. But I remember there was some verse, there was some terrible translation, didn't make any sense at all in English. And then I looked into it some more, and then it means a volcano within the ocean. So all kinds of things are going on. But from outside, we can't understand. What do we know? We can own, at the most, we can understand the surface of the ocean, unless we go deeply into it and investigate. So at the same time, people see Krishna and they think, oh, it's just some Hindu tribal god. Even, not to speak of the mundane scholars now, even when Krishna was present, Shishupal, he was blaspheming Krishna. Who is this? He was just some village boy chasing after cows, and now he calls himself the prince and the kshatriya. Who is this guy anyway? We don't know who he is. Well, that's true. You don't know who he is. Shishupal, he criticized Krishna. We don't know who he is, thinking that Krishna is just someone insignificant. So him saying that we don't know who Krishna is, that's true, but not because he's insignificant, that because we are insignificant. Our ability to understand him is nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have no ability to understand him whatsoever, unless he gives us the ability. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. So other understanding that I said there are some other names in Vishnu Sahasranams which indicate the ocean. So I spoke on this previously. One of the features of the ocean is, if you've never seen it, it's very surprising. You can't imagine what it's like till you see it. You must have seen the ocean from your childhood, is it? Because you're born, or you lived. That Somnath is right on the ocean, or just close to the ocean? Right on the ocean, yeah. From this school window, you saw every day the ocean. But for someone who's never seen it, they can't imagine it, as in the famous story of the frog, Kupamandukyanai. How big is the ocean? Is it 2 times the size of my well? 3 times the size of my well? 10 times? No. It's just, you can't imagine how vast it is. So superficial understanding of Krishna, we cannot understand how great he is. Even most people who even they say they believe in God, but their conception is extremely limited. They just think he's the order supplier. Srila Prabhupada used this term. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, how is that? I'm trying to remember the Bengali. He put it very graphically. They think that God is the supplier of fuel for the blazing fire of their material desires. They have no conception of how deep and vast is Krishna. Or they think that the Supreme is ultimately impersonal. The ocean appears to be impersonal. This example is given at the beginning of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. That the ocean appears to be impersonal, but that if you go deeply, you'll see that there are so many fish. So the in describing the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, the ocean, Rupa Goswami gives this example that people, impersonalists, they say that self-realization means just to be like a river that flows into the ocean and merges with it. You become one with the impersonal Brahman. But Rupa Goswami says, okay, you can merge, be like a river, but there are aquatics within the ocean also who have retained their personality. So devotees, they want to be like fish swimming in the ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita. Then, so it's a, even the name of the book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is the very name of the book is, what shall we say? Can you think of a word? It's divinely inspired. It just the name is just it invites us to enter. it's the very name of the book inspires us that this is something far more desirable than anything in this material world, because in this material world there's no bhakti. Whatever ras is there is jara ras, mundane rasa. There's no amrita, it's the world of birth and death. And it's a sindhu, but it's an ocean, but it's an ocean of distress. Dukkha sagar. Parashara Bhatta, the Sri Vaishnava commentator, gives the example, or he equates this name with Kurma Avatar, who sustained the Mandara mountain. Is it Mandara? Mandara mountain. He was not only sustaining Mandara during the churning, but actually he's sustaining the ocean also. He's the sustainer of everything. Shankara, in his commentary, gives the meaning of the ocean, the place where the waters get collected in abundance. That's like a dictionary definition. Shankara also quotes the Gita, Sarasam asmi sagaraha. Among bodies of water, I am the ocean, Krishna says. Oh yeah, here's a nice explanation. For water, the ocean is the beginning and the end. The water, just like there was rain here today. But the source of that water, of the rain, and the ultimate goal is the ocean. Now, you may say that people didn't understand these things previously. Only modern science has discovered. But we sing every morning, Samsara Dhavana Lalita Loka Tranaya Karanya Ghana Ghanadvam Praptasya Kalyana Gunarana Vasya Vande Guru Shri Charanaravindam. And it's a common analogy given in Shastra that water comes from the ocean, it turns into clouds and then rain and then pours on the earth and on the ocean directly, that which pours on the earth. Some of it is evaporated also, but most of it enters the earth and then enters underground water channels which become, they come out as rivers and then they enter other rivers and maybe another river and maybe another river and eventually reaches the ocean. So the source of the water and the ultimate destination of the water is the ocean. Water, it may become separated from the ocean, but it is intrinsically part of the ocean. So in the same way, the jivas, they may be separated from Bhagavan, but that separation is artificial. And ultimately, we all have to go back to Him. There are many names of Krishna also, which describe Him as being an ocean. Karuna Sindhu, Kripa Sindhu, Dayanidhi, Karuna Nidhi, and such names like this. Daya Saga, yeah. Well, there are many names for mercy, and different words for mercy are combined with different words for the ocean, and like that. And then other qualities of Krishna, but especially these terms, Kripa Nidhi, Tuhu Daya Sagara Tarayate Prani, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. Yeah, of course, that's there are other qualities of Krishna also, but especially so many unlimited qualities. But that one in particular, mercy, is often very commonly said that Krishna is the ocean of mercy. So, I think I'll leave it for there. Should I do one more name? All right. So, the next name is a name which in some ways is similar, but in other ways is quite distinct from the previous one. Adhishthana, which means the support, the solid basis. In Gita we have that word. Indriyani mano buddhi asya adhishthana mucchate. The place, the situation of lust is in the senses, the mind and the intelligence. So it means place, but it means place in the sense where something is particularly situated. And it means the support, where something is established. It's like many of these words, it's commonly used. I don't know, commonly. Is it used in Hindi commonly? I use it. I say something is situated, adhishtit, something is situated, like that. So, just like the ocean, everything is situated, at least all aquatic life is situated. So everything is situated and supported by Krishna. But the ocean gives more of a very broad idea, but adhishtan gives the idea of something very specific and solid, whereas the ocean is liquid. So both concepts are suitable for Krishna. You can think of him in either. He's the solid support of everything. There's a name just coming up, Pratishtit, which is similar, something which is established, firmly placed. So Parashara Bhatta again gives this idea of the Kurama Rupa, Kurama avatar. He's the Mandara mountain couldn't be used for churning because the ocean, being liquid, could not support that. But then Kurama avatar, very solid, he came and supported that. So he is the support of everything. That we should know. That the we think of the earth, but the earth may also, there may be an earthquake. People are, it's the most frightening thing if there's an earthquake, because we presume that the earth is completely solid. We never question. We walk, when we walk here and there, we just presume the earth's going to support us. But then when the earth herself starts to rumble and may open up in cracks, and then people just don't know what to do, where to go, where can you go for shelter? If the earth herself is shaking and maybe cracks open wide, then where can you go which is safe? What will you do? The birds don't have a problem. The birds, they don't have a problem during an earthquake. Unless they're a chicken or something, which is, they can't fly more than 3 meters or something at a time. So even the earth may not be fully reliable in that sense. Have you ever been in an earth tremor? You must have been there during that Kutch. Did you feel that? And you must have felt it in Somnath, a little bit, not much. But Krishna is completely reliable. Everything rests on Krishna, completely solid. We can have complete faith in Krishna because Krishna is completely that worthy of taking shelter of. Sharanya, that verse I quoted last time. Why can we fully take shelter of Krishna? Because Krishna is completely able to shelter us. There's in all times, places, and circumstances that we think of the earth, but even the earth herself may. Another thing is the earth, in certain places, she may fall into the water that we find in the Ganga, not here, but further down. In Bengal, that's very common. The part of the course of the Ganga, in Haridwar also, just downstream, the Ganga has changed course and gone about a kilometer away from her recent path. In Kanpur, she left the whole town. It's gone a long way from the city. So the course, because what happens then, someone's living on the bank of the river and just falls into the hole, just falls away. In England, I know, in the eastern part, and it must be in so many countries, that there's erosion by the sea. And there you'll find whole villages, they used to be on the map, they're not there now. They've fallen into the sea. But Krishna's not like that. Krishna's completely reliable. We should have complete faith that Krishna will support us. Completely solid and strong. Everything rests on Krishna. Everything rests on Krishna, everything rests in Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now.